ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं दैवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 9 वर्स नंबर 44। प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। अथो ईशा जहि त्वाष्ट्रां ग्रसन्तं भुवना त्रयं ग्रस्तानि येन ना कृष्ण तेजांसि अस्त्रयूढानि च। अथो ईश जहित्वा शत्रं ग्रसन्तं भुवनात्रयं ग्रस्तानि येन न कृष्ण तेजांसस्त्रायुधानि च। अथो ईश जहित्वा शत्रं ग्रसन्तं भुवनात्रयं ग्रस्तानि येन न कृष्ण तेजांसस्त्रायुधानि च। अथो ईश जहित्वा शत्रं ग्रसन्तं भुवनात्रयं ग्रस्तानि येन न कृष्ण तेजांसस्त्रायुधानि च। कृष्ण तेजां शस्त्रायुधानि च। अथो ईश जहित्वास्त्रं भुवनात्रयं ग्रस्तानि येन न कृष्ण तेजां शस्त्रायुधानि च। अथो ईशा जहित्वा शत्रं ग्रसन्तं भुवनानि च ग्रस्तानि येन न कृष्ण तेजांसि अस्त्रयुधानि च। अथो ईशा जहित्वा शत्रं भुवनात्रयं ग्रस्तानि येन न कृष्ण तेजांसि अस्त्रयुधानि च। माताजी प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। अथो देयरफोर ईशा ओ सुप्रीम कंट्रोलर जहि किल त्वाष्ट्रम द डिमन वृत्रासुर सन ऑफ त्वष्टा ग्रसंतम Who is devouring Bhuvanatrayam, the three worlds, Grastani, devoured, Yena, by whom, Na, are, Krishna, O Lord Krishna, Tejamsi, all strength and progress. Astra, arrows. Ayudhani, and other weapons. Cha, also. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Controller, O Lord Krishna, please annihilate this dangerous demon Vritrasura, Tvashta's son, who has already swallowed all our weapons, our paraphernalia for fighting, and our strength and influence. Purport. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 7.15 and 16, Namam duskritino moodha prapadyante naradama maya parita jnana asurim bhava mashritaha chaturvida bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna artu jigyasur arthaarthi jnani cha bharatar sabha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. O best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me. The distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. The four classes of neophyte devotees who approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to offer devotional service because of material motives are not pure devotees. But the advantage for such materialistic devotees is that they sometimes give up their material desires and become pure. When the demigods are utterly helpless, they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead in grief and with tears in their eyes, praying to the Lord, and thus they become almost pure devotees, free from material desires. Admitting that they have forgotten pure devotional service because of extensive material opportunities, they fully surrender to the Lord, leaving to His consideration whether to maintain them or annihilate them. Such surrender is necessary. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Marabi Rakhabi Yo Ichha Tohara. O Lord, I fully surrender unto Your lotus feet. Now, as You desire, You may protect me or annihilate me. You have the full right to do either. Please repeat the translation after me. Therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Controller, O Lord Krishna, please annihilate this dangerous demon, Vritrasura, Tvashta's son, who has already swallowed all our weapons, our paraphernalia for fighting, and our strength and influence. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Ragunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Namaom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitan Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So the translation goes, therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Controller, O Lord Krishna, please annihilate this dangerous demon Vritrasura, Tvashta's son, who has already swallowed all our weapons, our paraphernalia for fighting, and our strength and influence.
So we see this Vritrasura Prasanga, which comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, it occupies around 7 chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a sizable portion. So this whole Vritrasura Prasanga, which is happening, is to glorify Vritrasura, who is, although a demon, but he is a pure devotee. So what is happening is that currently, what we are reading is that the demigods are offering prayers to the Supreme Lord so that they can be relieved from the immediate misery caused by Vritrasura's appearance. So the demigods are offering prayers, please annihilate this demon, Vritrasura, otherwise he is going to become heavy on us. So already, because the demigods, we see that they tried to fight with Vritrasura, he swallowed all their weapons, so he doesn't, anyways the demigods are poverty stricken, they have nothing now, and now they are thinking that Vritrasura, if he really starts fighting against us, we will be left nowhere. So then they are really crying out. And we also see that, you know, when the devotees cry out, the Lord has to come. So the Lord is personally present when these prayers are being chanted. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he starts by quoting Bhagavad Gita. He says, 7.15, he quotes, Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante na radama maya parita jnana asurim bhava mashrita. So Srila Prabhupada is quoting this verse, wherein Lord Krishna is saying that there are 4 kinds of people who do not surrender to me. So who are these 4 kinds of people? They are the Duskritinas, right? So Duskriti, right, they, means that these people, as Srila Prabhupada says, they are atheistic plan makers. Atheistic plan makers. They don't have anything to do with God. So who are these 4 kinds of Duskritinas? Namam Duskritino Mudha Prapadyante Naradama Maya Aparita Jnana Asurim Bhavam Ashrita. So these are these 4 kinds of people. So the first is the Mudha. So the Mudha is the fool, right? He is the ass, right? He is the one who is working like an ass. You know, we many times use the term Gadha, right? Gadha Majuri kar raha hai. So that is the Mudha, who just goes on working continuously like an ass. Now, you see, in the modern day, there are so many such mudhas, you know, because they have the philosophy that let me work and I will be rewarded for my activity. Whatever I am doing, karma karo, and I will get the reaction, right? Many times we go out for book distribution, we tell people, take Bhagavad Gita. This is Bhagavad Gita, hame pata hai. Karam karo, lekin phal ki chinta mat karo. Right? This is the standard statement that everybody gives when we talk about Bhagavad Gita. Right? But actually, what they are talking about is the Karma Mimamsa philosophy, in which they are talking, you do karma and you get a reaction. Where is God in the picture? Actually, what Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita is, whatever you do it as an offering to me. Right? So that is called Karma Yoga. So because people have this misconception, they think karma karte jao and phal ki chinta mat karo, which is incomplete. So therefore their slogan is work hard, party harder. You know, you work hard and whatever result you get, just enjoy. Why there has to be God? So these are the mudhas, right? They just go on with their work, right? They think work is worship, you know. But actually speaking, for devotees, worship is our only work. So then we come to the second category of people. Namam duskritaro mudha prapadyante naradama. Naradama. Right? So naradama, nara means man, right? Human being. Adama means the lowest category. So naradama means the lowest category of human beings. Right? So we know that there are 84 lakh species of life, 4 lakh are human beings. And amongst these, the lowest category are these naradama. Now naradama means these people
consciously they have removed God out of their lives. They have nothing to do with God. So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, Naradama means what? You know, he's saying that human life, normally a person has some social, political and religious principles which he follows. Right? If he has to survive in society, there are some social, religious and political principles that he follows. Naradama means these people follow social and political principles, but they chuck out all religious principles. Nothing to do with religion. Like for example, in the Manu Smriti, there are 10 purificatory rituals which are mentioned in the Varnashram system, which if one follows, he will get purified slowly and gradually. This is Srila Prabhupada mentioning in the purport. But what happens, you know, in the modern day society, nobody follows, right? In the entire world, rarely there are people who follow any kind of purificatory ritual. So they don't follow any process of religion. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes, 99.9% people are Naradama. Right? 99.9% people in the world are lowest among mankind. So naturally, their religious system, their education system, it's actually a big joke. Right? There is no system. Right? It is godless. So that is the current godless civilization, because maximum proportion of the population are Naradama. So they don't surrender to God. They have nothing to do with God. Then the third category of Dushkritinas is Maya or Parita Jnana. Now these people are intelligent people, right? But their intelligence is stolen by illusion, right? So example are these intelligent people like scientists, philosophers, poets. They are all intelligent. They write amazing literature. But because their intelligence is stolen by illusion, they end up having an atheistic or an impersonal presentation. They conclude in impersonalism or atheism. Right? Again, God is not there in the picture. And the fourth category of Dushkritinas is Asurim Bhavam Ashrita, means Asuras, demons. These people are outrightly atheistic. Right? They openly condemn God. They say that why God has to come in human form, right? They sometimes say that the Lord's form in his impersonal feature is higher than personal feature. So they again go completely haywire. So this is the Asuras. Shishradas Biyari Bhagwan ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Gaur Nithai ki. So these are the four categories of people who do not surrender to God. And you know, we understand, because God is omitted out of the picture. So these are, Krishna says, four kinds of people who do not surrender to me. Then Srila Prabhupada is quoting the verse, Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritin arjuna artho jigyasur artharthi jnani cha bharatarsaba. So now Krishna is saying the four kinds of people who do surrender to me. So who are these people? They are the Sukritinas. They have some pious credit. You see, it is not that all people who are materially distressed, they surrender to Krishna. All people who are in search of knowledge of the Absolute, they come to Krishna. All people who have material desires, they come to Krishna. It's not that all of them come. People like Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, they don't surrender to Krishna. So what is the prerequisite to surrender to Krishna is Sukriti. That some Bhakti Sukriti is needed. Some pious credit is needed. So these four people, these four categories of Sukritinas, of pious people, they surrender to Krishna. Who are they? Artho, Jigyasu, Artharthi and Jnani. So first, Artho. The one who is materially distressed. So such people, you know, there is so much of problem in their life. There is so much of misery. They come and surrender to the Lord, thinking that now there is no other way. So they are pious, that's why they are coming and surrendering. So the example of such a person is, of such a devotee is Gajendra. Right? Gajendra was materially in a very distressful condition, so he surrendered to Krishna. Then we come to the next category, Jigyasu. So Jigyasu is a person who is inquisitive. He has questions about the Absolute Truth. He wants to know who is Krishna, what is my relation with him, what is the nature of the absolute truth. So this is Jigyasu. An example of such a person is Shaunak Muni, right? Shaunak Rishi. So he is asking questions to Suta Goswami about the nature of Krishna consciousness, about the Srimad Bhagavatam. So then we come to the third category of people who are Artho Jigyasu, Artharthi. Artharthi means a person who has a lot of material desires, so he wants to fulfill them. Right? He wants wealth, women, he wants land, he wants a kingdom to rule. And we see the example is Dhruva Maharaj. Right? Dhruva Maharaj said, I want a kingdom which is greater than my grandfather also. His grandfather was Swayambhuva Manu, he wanted a kingdom greater than him. So he comes in the category of Artharthi. And the fourth category is Jnani. So Jnani means this person is on the Brahman platform, self-realized. But he wants to now further inquire, go ahead. So examples of such Jnanis are Shukdev Goswami and the four Kumaras. So now actually the first three categories of people, Artho, Jigyasur and Artharthi, they are actually not without material motivation. They have material desires, therefore they are called Sakam Bhaktas. Sakam, in the previous shlokas we have seen, Prabhupada writes in the purport, Sakam devotees and Nishkam devotees, right? Akama devotees. So Sakam devotees means they have material desire. So these three are those who have material desire. Whereas a Jnani is the one who is Nishkam, right? But he is still not pure. So actually all these four categories are not pure devotees. But if they get the mercy of the Lord or his devotees, then they become pure devotees. Just like Arjuna. Arjuna also, before he went through the Bhagavad Gita, before Krishna tells him Bhagavad Gita, he is a category of Artha, right? He is also materially distressed, doesn't know what to do, right? Karpanya dosha upahat svabhava prichhami tvam dharma sammuda cheta. I have forgotten what is good for me. I don't know. So he is also in that category. But after Bhagavad Gita, after he gets the mercy of the Lord, what happens? He says, Nashta moha smritir labda. Right? Now my illusion is dispelled. Now I am clear. I know what I am supposed to do. So after they get the mercy of the Lord, right, they become clear. They start practicing pure bhakti. So we see that, when one gets the mercy of the Lord, special mercy, when these Sakam devotees get, they become purified. So in the same way, these demigods who are right now praying to the Supreme Lord, they are praying for, so that the distress, the immediate distress which is Vritrasura's appearance, can be taken away. Right? They are not pure. So, but although they are really sincerely crying out, the Lord is giving them, showing them mercy by giving darshan. And also he is, what he will say, he will give the solution. He will give the real solution. So you see, there are two things that are there. One is called Shreyas and one is Prayas. Prayas means it is the immediate good. What I feel is good for me right now, immediately, instantaneously. And Shreyas means what is ultimate good for me. Ultimate good. Now let us see in this context. Now just to put things in context. Now what is happening in this story is that Indra, he offends his spiritual master Brihaspati. So because of the aparad, Brihaspati disappears. Indra and the demigods lose the battle against the demons. And then, they accept Vishwarupa as their priest, as their guru. Now Vishwarupa, because he is connected to the demons, is related to them, he is giving them a part of the sacrificial offerings of the yajna, which Indra does not like. Indra feels fearful that again the demons will come in power. They will take away my post. Indra is attached very strongly. So then what happens? Indra, he gets very angry on Vishwarup and beheads him. And then he, because this is a big aparad, he killed a brahmana. So now he has to suffer the reaction. So he accepts the reaction. But then Vishwarup's father, Tvashta, he wants to take revenge on Indra and the demigods. So he performs a yajna in which Vritrasura, this great asura, comes out. And this Vritrasura is, you know, the description is given. He's like a big black mountain. And he has coppery hair and coppery beard. And he is holding trident, Trishul. You know, he's a devotee, right? Not having Japamala, he's holding trident, you know. He's unconventional devotee. Nobody from the looks of Vritrasura will ever say that he looks like a devotee. But we will see and find out what actually his internal mood is. So Vritrasura comes out, and as soon as he comes out, all the demigods, they charge at Vritrasura wanting to attack him. And for Vritrasura, the demigods are a piece of cake. He just swallows their weapons. And the demigods understand that we are no match for him. So then they start taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. So because the demigods are essentially devotees, they take the shelter of the Supreme Lord even in distress. So they are taking shelter of Krishna and they are reciting these verses which we are going through currently. Now what happens is that the demigods in this verse are praying to the Supreme Lord that please annihilate this demon. And you know, after this, what happens is that the Lord, being pleased with the demigods, with their prayers, he tells them that a pure devotee is the one who doesn't pray for such material things. You know, he's actually chastising the demigods for offering such prayers. The Lord is telling the pure devotee doesn't pray for such material things. Right? He is interested in the ultimate good. He is interested in shreyas, not prayers. These material goods are not what a devotee, pure devotee is interested in. Indirectly, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, indirectly the Lord is chastising them for not calling out to him to pray for pure devotional service. The Lord mentions, in the translation, Prabhupada translates that the Supreme Lord is telling the demigods that a pure devotee of mine is the one who is only praying for Shuddha Bhakti, for only pure devotional service. He is only wanting pure devotional service. That's all he wants. He doesn't want any kind of materialism. He has nothing to do with material desires. That's what the Lord is telling the demigods. In fact, the Lord is saying that actually the ones who run after material assets, considering that material assets are everything in life, they are kripanas. So actually there are two kinds of people. One is a kripana and one is a brahmana. A kripana is interested in prayers. How I can be satisfied immediately. And a brahmana is the one who thinks of the long term good. So, you know, even Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, he is asking Krishna, Yat shreyasyan nishchitan bruhitan me. You tell me for sure, for certain, what is shreyas for me? What is ultimate good? I am not interested in the prayers. I am not interested. The Lord is saying in this verse, he is saying that the pure devotees, they know that this materialism is like poison. Just like an expert physician, expert doctor knows what food is bad for the patient. So he will not tell the patient, he will tell the patient don't eat it. Even though the patient wants to eat, he will tell don't eat. So in the same way, the devotees, the pure devotees, they know that asking for material goods from the Lord is like asking for poison. So the Lord is saying here that my devotees, they are like physicians. They themselves don't take this poison, nor do they tell others to take. They give the right advice like a doctor. Right? But then he knows what is the desire of the demigods. Demigods want that the impending calamity of Vritrasura, they want it to be removed. So then what happens is, the Lord tells them, okay, you don't worry. He addresses Indra, oh Maghavan, he says. He says, oh Indra, you know, I advise you, you approach the priest, the Brahmana, Dadichi. Dadichi has done a lot of tapasya. He is already very elevated by his austerity. From his bones, you prepare, with the help of Vishwakarma, you prepare a thunderbolt. And with the means of this thunderbolt, you will be able to kill Vritrasura. He gives, this is the solution that the Lord gives the demigods. Further, the Lord is also telling that don't worry, this Vritrasura will not harm you. He is a devotee. Lord is himself declaring to the demigods before the fight has started, before Vritrasura is offering prayers, that this Vritrasura is actually, he is a devotee. Devotee means he is non-envious. The Lord is telling, right, Lord is telling the demigods that Vritrasura will not harm you, he is not envious of you. Although Vritrasura is capable of actually, you know, ruling over the three worlds, he is so powerful, but still, he will give it up because that is my desire. That is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is commenting. Right? That he will give it up. He doesn't care for this. He is a pure devotee. So he will not harm you because you just kill him with this thunderbolt. My potency is there in this thunderbolt. So you don't worry, you will again regain back whatever you have lost. So with this assurance, the demigods, they charge against Vritrasura and the demoniac army. Now the demons, they start, you know, they are the first ones to attack. So they take their weapons and they shoot the demigods. They throw their clubs, their lances, their maces, their arrows to the devatas. And the demigods are very expert, and now they have additional prowess because they got the thunderbolt from Dadichi's bones. Right? They go to Dadichi. And Dadichi, the devatas request Dadichi, please give our bones, please give your bones, please give up your body so that we can prepare this thunderbolt that the Lord has prescribed. And Dadichi complies. He says, okay, anyways, what is the use of this body? At the end of it, it will be devoured by jackals and vultures. So better it is better to be used for seva of the Supreme Lord. So Dadichi fixes his mind on Krishna and leaves his body. And then the devatas prepare, with the help of Vishwakarma, they prepare the thunderbolt. And they charge against the demons. Because now the devatas are renewed with fresh vigor. They defeat the demigods, they defeat the demons. The devatas defeat the demons. And the demons, now all their weapons are not working against the demigods. So they are very, very afraid. They are thinking, now what? So then they take trees. And they uproot trees and throw them at the demigods. And the demigods, they are so expert, they whatever attack the demons make, they are nullifying it completely. So the demons become frustrated. Kya kare? Now what to do? So they, because you know, nothing is working, so then the demons become afraid and they start running away from the battlefield. So then Vritrasura is telling them, where are you running? This does not befit a warrior. Better to die on the battlefield. Right? He is telling, just like Krishna is telling Arjuna, right? He is saying, he is telling him that, Krishna is telling Arjuna that this is not befitting a Kshatriya. He is saying, Anarya Jushta Maswaryam Akirti Karam Arjuna. He is saying, when you run away from the battlefield for a Kshatriya, this is not going to lead you to heaven. Right, this behavior is not befitting an Aryan. So the same way Vritrasura is also trying to inspire the demons, where are you running away? Better be here and die. He says, Vritrasura is saying, there are two glorious deaths mentioned in the Shastra. Two ways in which you can die, they are glorious. One is when you die on the battlefield. One is when you die on the battlefield, and the second is when you are fixed up in Bhakti Yoga. Your mind is fixed up on Krishna and then you leave the body. Only these two types of deaths are glorious, but not running away. But what happens is that demons are running away, the devatas go behind the demons and they attack the demons from behind and they finish the demons. And now Vritrasura is chastising the demigods that you are demigods, why are you attacking them from behind? You come ahead, come in front, fight. And then Vritrasura, he roars so loudly that half the demigods fall down. They just, you know, from whatever carrier they are having, they just fall down. And then Vritrasura gets so angry, he tramples them and crushes them under his feet. So this is Vritrasura, he got so angry. He finished all the demigods and only remaining was Indra. sitting on Airavat. He was only remaining. Now Indra saw Vritrasura coming at him. So Indra throws his club at Vritrasura. And Vritrasura, easily he catches it with his left hand and throws it again at Indra. Right? And he throws it again at Indra and it strikes Airavat. Right? It strikes Airavat so strongly that Airavat falls 14 yards behind. And Indra falls from his seat and falls down. So even now Indra is confused what to do. So he gets up but does not start fighting. He is waiting. Because he understood that his first attack was a failure, disaster. So Indra is waiting. And now Vritrasura, you know, he is seeing that Indra is not attacking him. Indra is waiting. So Vritrasura, he is now preaching to Indra that you should now fight. It is amazing that Indra is telling, Vritrasura is telling Indra, you should do your duty. Right? So Vritrasura is telling, he's telling Indra, you are such a sinful person. First you do Guru Aparad, then secondly you make my brother your guru, and then you kill him, because even though he's innocent, you kill him. Right? And then after that, now you are going to the Lord and you are getting this thunderbolt weapon. Still you don't have faith in the Lord that this is going to work, and just you are just standing there. Vritrasura is chastising Indra. He is telling him, actually, don't be afraid. Use your thunderbolt and fight. With your thunderbolt, you have already been blessed by the Supreme Lord to kill me. By this thunderbolt, I will get freed from material bondage and I will attain the lotus feet of Sankarshan. Who is saying? Vritrasura is saying. I will attain the lotus feet of Sankarshan by this thunderbolt. So what are you waiting for? Shoot. Why are you not fighting? This is what Vritrasura is telling Indra. He is instigating him, fight. Right? Actually Indra is afraid. He is thinking that Mera first, the first attack that I made on Vritrasura, it failed. Disaster. Right? It came back on me. Will the thunderbolt work or not? So Vritrasura is giving faith to Indra that why have you lost faith? Baba, this is a Supreme Lord. He has blessed you with his potency. He has told that this Dadichi's bones, I am investing my power in them, and you throw this thunderbolt and Vritrasura will be killed. Already Supreme Lord is telling you, now why are you afraid? So Vritrasura is preaching to Indra in this way, inspiring him to fight. In fact, Vritrasura tells Indra, he says, Aham hare tava pada ekamula, dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuya. He says, dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuya. He's saying actually, Vritrasura starts praying to the Supreme Lord. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that actually Vritrasura is able to see Supreme Lord. Although he's talking to Indra, he's able to see the Supreme Lord. And he's praying, offering prayers. He's saying, my dear Lord, I just wish that I just come back to you again. He's saying that dasam daso bhavitasmi bhuya. He says, when will I become a servant of the servant of your pure devotees who are servant at your lotus feet? Right? So this is Vritrasura who is praying. He is praying to the Supreme Lord. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, he says, this verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. This verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. Right? Because Vritrasura is saying, when will I become the servant of your pure devotees? Right? Servant of the servant at your lotus feet. You know, we know that even Maharaj Prataparudra, right, a similar incident happened with him. When Maharaj Prataparudra, who is a devotee, wanted to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he asks Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please give me audience of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asked by Bhattacharya that Maharaj Prataparudra wants to meet you. Mahaprabhu says, no, he is materialist. How can I meet him? This is Asat Sangha. How can I do it? No ways. So Maharaj Prataparudra is disappointed. And what he does, you know, he understands what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. So in the Jagannath Rath Yatra, Maharaj Prataparudra, although he is a king, he takes the broom and starts sweeping the floor where the cart and the devotees are going to walk. He is thinking that the devotees should not step on rocks. Right? The devotees should not face any inconvenience. Right? This is his mood. And he is humbly sweeping the floor. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees that, that is when he becomes happy. Right? That is when he becomes happy with Prataparudra. And he grants him audience. He says okay for the meeting. And Prataparudra, he doesn't come as the king to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He comes dressed in as a normal person, humbly dressed, not as a king. He comes humbly dressed. And he goes and massages Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. So he's massaging Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opens his eyes. He was taking rest. He opens his eyes and he sees this nice person, nice devotee, nicely massaging, doing this seva. So he asks, "Who are you?" Because he cannot identify that this is Prataparudra. He's come as a normal person. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking him, "Who are you?" And Prataparudra replies, "Gopir Bharatur Padakamalayor Das Dasanu Das." Right? I am the servant of the servant of the gopis. Right? I am just the servant of your servant. So we see that Vritrasura is also in this mood. Right? He is in the mood of a pure devotee. Vritrasura prays, you know, in the next verse, Vritrasura is praying amazingly. He is saying, "I don't want to enjoy in Dhruva Loka. I don't want Brahma's planet. I don't want to go in Satyaloka. I don't want mystic perfections. I don't want yoga siddhis. I don't want to rule over earthly planets also. I don't want liberation if that is going to take me away from your lotus feet." This is Vritrasura who is praying. Right? So these are the prayers of a pure devotee. In fact, Vritrasura is saying that his intensity, he is comparing it with three things. He is saying that just like baby birds are waiting in the nest, waiting for the mother to come and feed them, just like the young calf who is tied is waiting for milking time, that when he will go and drink milk from mother. And just like the wife whose husband stays far away, she is waiting for the husband, when will the husband come. In the same way, I am waiting to be engaged in your service. This is what Vritrasura is praying. So Vritrasura is saying further, he is saying that I am in this body because of my karma. Right? He is saying because of my material desires and my karma, I am stuck in this body. And I am suffering in this material world. And the only thing that I pray for is the association of your pure devotees. Right? So there is this famous verse which Lord Brahma is praying. Right? He says, "Tatte nukampa susumikshamana bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvagva purbir vidadan namaste jivetayo mukti padesa dayabhag." So Lord Brahma is saying, a person who understands that this suffering in this material life is because of his own karma, and he is silently tolerating whatever is suffering is coming to him, understanding that this is his own sinful reaction which is coming back to him. At the same time, ridvag vapurbhir, offering obeisances by heart, by words, by body, offering you obeisances. Such a person is eligible for liberation because it has become his rightful claim. So this is what even Brahma is praying. And we see in the same spirit, Vritrasura is also praying. And Srila Prabhupada writes, in one place, he writes that this verse, this is the guideline, this should be the guideline for all the devotees. This verse should be the guideline for all the devotees. Ridvag vapurpir vidadan namaste jiveta yo mukti padesa dayabhag. Dayabhag, it comes of his rightful inheritance. Virasat mein milta hai, it's like that. Because what we have done, if the devotee is tolerating whatever is coming to him as his past karma, still having faith in the Supreme Lord, right? He is sure to attain liberation. So this is Vritrasura, he is praying. And Vritrasura, after finishing his prayers, he says, "Indra, this is my duty to kill you. I am going to kill you with this trident." And he throws the trishul, the trident at Indra. And Indra, with his thunderbolt, which is called Saptarshi, he finishes the trident. He breaks the trident into pieces. And then Indra, with his thunderbolt, he slices off one arm of Vritrasura. One arm of Vritrasura is sliced off. And now Vritrasura in retaliation takes an iron mace and throws it, a gada, he throws it at Vritrasura. He throws it at Indra. And Indra is so badly struck in the jaw, it's like a slap on his face. He gets so badly struck that, his thunderbolt falls down. His thunderbolt falls down and Indra doesn't even pick it up. He's so ashamed that I could not even keep the weapon in my hand. It fell down. So Indra is not picking up. And Dhritarasura is thinking, this guy is again delaying my going back to Vaikuntha. So he is again telling Indra, why you stopped? Why are you stopping now? Dhritarasura is telling Indra. He is telling him, see, we are all supposed to do our duty. Right? The supreme enjoyer is one, he is Krishna, he is Param Purushottam, he is Bhagavan. Right? He is the one who incarnates as the Purusha Avataras, Shirodakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. He is the one who incarnates. He is the supreme Purusha. We are all Prakriti. Right? He is giving him Pravachan, in between the battlefield. Somehow the Lord and his devotees all like the battlefield as a Pravachan ground. They like to give class in the battlefield. So even Dhritarasura is talking about, he's telling Indra that you should do your duty. Why are you not fighting? Right? He's telling, we are all doing whatever we are because of the will of the Supreme Lord. We are all supposed to do our duty. Although we may know what is the ultimate result, still we should do. Dhritarasura is preaching to Indra. He's telling Indra, you have the thunderbolt weapon in your hand. With this weapon, you are going to kill me. I don't have a problem. What problem you have? Why are you delaying? Right? He's telling Vritrasura prays, he's telling Indra, all living beings are like birds in a net. If there is a net and all birds are stuck in the net, how much can they move? They cannot move. Vritrasura is saying, all of us are like this. We are all actually under the subjugation of the Supreme Lord. We all have to function according to the will of the Supreme Lord. So he is giving Indra the example, just like a wooden doll. A wooden doll, it may be in the form of a woman, but she cannot move on her own. In the same way, we are all actually puppets in the hand of the Supreme Lord. Vritrasura is telling Indra, we are all puppets. Right? And Prabhupada quotes Chaitanya Charitamrit, Ekala Ishvara Krishna, Arasabha Bhritya, Yare Yaishe Nachaya, Se Taishe Kare Nritya. Right? There is only one Supreme Lord, that is Krishna, and all of us are his servants. And we are supposed to dance according to his will. Right? So this is what Srila Prabhupada is quoting. That we are, and Dhritarasura is saying, we are all puppets. We are all supposed to actually act according to the will of the Supreme Lord. And because Dhritarasura is again and again telling Indra, he's saying, see, look at me, I have already been defeated. Dhritarasura is saying, Lord has chosen to side with you. He has given his blessing to you in the form of thunderbolt. Why my one hand is sliced off, my whole army is gone, I can't fight, right? I am already defeated. Still, why are you waiting? Why are you hesitating? You fight, right? So because Vritrasura is giving this amazing philosophy, what happens is that Indra becomes convinced that Vritrasura is a devotee. He is not able to understand. This person doesn't look like a devotee. But he understands that because of this amazing level of realization that Vritrasura is having, Indra understands that he is a devotee. And Indra picks up his weapon and smilingly he tells Vritrasura. He tells Vritrasura, you are a great devotee. I have understood. Although you are born in a demoniac family, you are still a great devotee. Your position is exalted. Indra is telling, devotees like you, they are swimming in the ocean of nectar. You are swimming in the ocean of nectar. How can you be satisfied with some ditches of water? We have water sometimes fills up in the ditch. So how are you going to be satisfied by this when you are actually swimming in the ocean of nectar? And Srila Prabhupada explains that this ocean of nectar is the spiritual world, is actually the devotional service that the devotee is carrying out. Devotee is undergoing, he is performing devotional service, so he is swimming in the ocean of nectar. So what will this material life, which is compared to a ditch, some water filled in a ditch, what is that? How is that going to satisfy the devotee? That is what Indra is telling Vritrasura. He says, Dhritarasura, you are great. And then what he does, Dhritarasura takes, you know, he takes a club and throws it at Indra. Indra takes the thunderbolt and he crushes the club into pieces, slices off Dhritarasura's second hand. So now Dhritarasura is standing there with no hands. And Dhritarasura, what he does, he opens his mouth big and he charges towards Indra. He looks as if he is going to devour all the three worlds. And he swallows Indra along with Airavat. He swallows. And Indra, because he is protected by Narayan Kavach, he does not die. Nothing happens to him. And Indra, with his thunderbolt, he slices off Dhritarasura's abdomen and comes out. And then with his final thunderbolt, he throws it at Dhritarasura's neck and he severs the neck from Dhritarasura's body. There is a verse which is saying that it took 360 days, it took 1 year to slice off Dhritarasura's head from his body. Because it was so stiff. And because Dhritarasura is now dead, what is happening? All the demigods are showering flowers. Jai, Jai, one, one. And there is one person who is disappointed. That is Indra. Because he understood, actually he did the second aparad now. This is, again he killed Brahmana, again he did aparad. So again Indra is disappointed. Everybody is happy but Indra is not. And actually speaking, in this prasanga, what is happening is, although Dhritarasura was killed and he was defeated and Indra won, but actually Vishwanath Chakravarti points out, he says that Indra is the one who got killed. Because Dhritarasura went back home, back to Godhead. But Indra is the one who died. So actually there is Asura and Sur. Sur is the one who is the devotee. Asura is the one who is not the devotee. In this case, Dhritarasura was the Sura, was the devotee, and Indra behaved like the non-devotee. So actually, although Indra won, he didn't win. He lost. He lost. Indra won the battle, but lost the war. And Dhritarasura, he lost the battle, right, but he won the war. So this is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying. And you see, even after this, Indra is not peaceful. Because now he understands he committed this big sin, so he goes to Manasarovar to perform tapasya to get rid of this sin. So you see, in demigod life, so much of anxiety, right? So much material entanglement, so much of entanglement. One thing leads to the other. So this Dhritarasura prasanga, you know, see, we can understand the contrast. The demigods are praying in this verse, please save us from Dhritarasura. And Dhritarasura is praying, I don't want anything else except devotion at your lotus feet. So this is the prayer of a pure devotee. In fact, you know, in the same context, I thought we'll share Srila Prabhupada's prayers when he reaches Boston Harbor. Mm-hmm. So there is this beautiful bhajan that Srila Prabhupada writes, Markine Bhagavad Dharma. So this is when he is at, just going to reach Boston Harbor, when the ship is going to dock. So this is, Srila Prabhupada is already, he's on the ship, he has suffered two heart attacks, he's 70 years old, he's going to reach Boston, he's going to reach New York, and this is what he prays. He says, my dear Lord Krishna, I don't know why you are so kind upon this useless soul. I don't know why you have brought me here. Now you may do whatever you want with me as you like. Srila Prabhupada, he prays in the next verse. He's saying, but I guess you must be having some business with me here. Kuch to kaam hoga. Otherwise, why will you bring me to such a terrible place? Right? Prabhupada is saying that the people who are there in this land, they are so much by the mode of passion and ignorance, so much in the mode of passion and ignorance, that they think material life is good. They think everything is going on fine. How will they develop attraction to hear your katha? How will they hear an attraction? How will they get an attraction to develop, you know, taste for hearing your pastimes? Vasudev katha. How will they develop? He is praying that you are the Supreme Lord. It is perfectly within your control. If you want, you can bestow their mercy, your mercy on them. Please give your mercy on them so that they can become qualified to hear. He says that how will they be able to understand the mellows of devotional service? How will they understand about bhakti? He says that actually you are, this is your Maya. This illusory energy is yours. If you want, you can put a person into Maya. If you want, you can remove a person from Maya. I am praying, please put them out of Maya so that they can understand your katha, they can understand your pastimes, they can understand about you. He's saying that, how will they hear Srimad Bhagavatam? If a sober person hears Srimad Bhagavatam, all the inauspicious elements in the heart is destroyed. Right? Srinavatam Swakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridayantastha Badrani Vidunoti Surit Satam. But how will these people listen to Srimad Bhagavatam? So Srila Prabhupada is praying, you make me an instrument. Please let the right words come out of my mouth. Please let my language be understandable to them, that somehow they can understand the true meaning of Bhagavat. He is saying, now that you have brought me here, you can make me a success or failure. It is in your hands. He is saying that I am just like a puppet in your hands. Now you may make me dance as you like. Make me dance, O Lord, make me dance. Srila Prabhupada ends his prayer by saying that actually I have been conferred upon the title of Bhakti Vedanta. But I have no devotion, I have no knowledge. If you want, you can actually, you can make this, you can make true this title of Bhakti Vedanta. Right? And he signs the most insignificant, unfortunate beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the Jalladuta, 18 September 1965, at Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Right? This is what Srila Prabhupada is praying. So you see, this is the prayer of a pure devotee. He's saying, make me dance as your way, as whatever you want me to do. In the earlier two verses, the demigods, they are praying, they are telling Lord, my dear Lord, you are Paramatma within. You are already present in our heart as Paramatma. You are Parabrahman, you are present outside. You know everything. Therefore, a devotee does not pray for material things because you already know. Right? So there was one nice pastime which talks about, which elaborates this particular prayer. So that was the life of Narasimha Mehta. Narasimha Mehta was a pure devotee. Right? He was in a contemporary of Mirabai. And Narasimha Mehta, he had a lot of devotion for the Lord, but he was very poor. So there is this very nice, beautiful story about him. So what happens is that once Narasimha Mehta, he's engrossed in bhajan. All the time he's chanting and he's performing bhajan for the pleasure of the Lord. He's reading Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Whole day goes like this. They have no money. And it's hand to mouth. Whatever Lord provides, they manage. So what happens is that Narasimha Mehta has a daughter who is to be married. Now he doesn't think like this, but people, his neighbors start criticizing that Narasimha Mehta has a daughter to be married and he's not getting her married. They start criticizing. So Narasimha Mehta's wife tells him that what are you doing? Whole day you do bhajan? Daughter is there to be married at house. Why are you sitting here? Go and beg, go and find out a groom for her. So Narasimha Mehta goes to his Lord. He doesn't know anything else. He goes to his Lord and tells, my dear Lord, this is your family, your daughter who is to be married. I don't know. You manage? My wife is interfering in bhajan. I can't tolerate that. Do you manage? So then what happens? See, when the pure devotee cries, the Lord instantaneously rewards. Next day, a family comes to the village and there is a groom who wants to get married. And they figure out that this family, there is a young daughter who is to be married. And that is family of Narasimha Mehta. So they understand that although they are poor, they are very good at heart. So let us get them married. Okay, so they decide that marriage is supposed to happen. Now they check the horoscope. They find out that there is only one date, which is after 4 days. Otherwise, for 1 year, there is no suitable date for marriage. So it is fixed that the marriage will happen in the next 4 days. So now Narasimha Mehta, he tells his wife, see, Krishna is arranging. Wife saying, what arranging? 4 days there is marriage. There is not a single paisa in the house. Go and beg. What are you doing at home? And Narasimha Mehta is thinking, again, my bhajan got disturbed. So then he again goes out. You know, wife is putting pressure. Go out and beg, borrow money. What are you doing sitting at home? So Narasimha Mehta goes out. He goes in the nearby village. There, what is happening is Bhagavat Katha is going on. Now Narasimha Mehta thinks that let me just sit for some time. And he sits. And he sits. Because the Bhagavad Katha is not for 2 hours in a week every day, just like it happens nowadays. This Bhagavad Katha is going on morning and evening. It is just going on. And Narasimha Mehta is sitting and sitting. And 7 days pass by. And Bhagavad Katha gets over and he realizes, my God, my daughter had to be married last week. So he's thinking now what to do. So he thinks now I am going to get kicks and broomsticks from my wife. So I have to think of what to tell her. So Narasimha Mehta is thinking that I'll tell my wife that I went to all these villages, but nobody actually responded. Nobody gave me any kind of money. So what to do? I just came empty-handed. So Narasimha Mehta goes in his village. He's afraid. Now surprisingly in his village he hears people talking amongst each other. They say, do you know what Narasimha Mehta's daughter's marriage was? Amazing marriage. It was royal marriage. Never seen such a marriage in the village. What marriage it was. So elaborate, so pompous. And Narasimha Mehta is thinking, what are they talking about? I was there sitting in Katha. And he realizes, oh, this is Krishna who did it. So then he goes ahead. He goes to his house. Right? He's just waiting. Now my wife is going to give me black and blue. So his wife comes. And wife, surprisingly, she doesn't shout at him. She tells him, where were you? The marriage happened so nice. And Narasimha Mehta's, he's asking, what happened? How did it happen? So the wife is saying, what are you saying? You don't know? You sent all of this. So Narasimha Mehta said, what? So he said, yeah, there was, there was so much of gold, so much of oil, so much of ghee, so much of ornaments, so much of money, so much of grains and sweets that you sent. So Narasimha Mehta is saying, what? So he understood, oh, Krishna is providing. So wife said, yeah, there was one black boy who was 10, 12 years old. He was carrying this big luggage, big load of oil, big load of ghee, big load of ornaments, big load of gold and money. He was getting everything and stocking in the house. There is no place in the house to keep. There is nowhere. We didn't have place in the house to keep. And the whole house was filled with all this. And when I asked him, who is sending all of this? So the boy said, Baba Gosai is sending. Baba Gosai, you are sending. So then Narasimha Mehta understood that this was actually sent by Krishna. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Ksheham Vaham Vaham. For the devotee, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. So actually Narasimha Mehta got, for a pure devotee, that's why he doesn't pray for any material things. Narasimha Mehta ki jai. So we are already time up. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. His divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki Nithai Gaur Premanande.